ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वम् ब्रह्मोपनिषदम् माहम् ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्व निराकरणम् मे अस्तु। तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ केनेषितं पतति प्रेषितं मनः केन प्राणः प्रथमः प्रैतियुक्तः केनेषिताम् केनेषिताम् वाचमिमां वदन्ति चक्षुश्रोत्रम् क उदेवो युनक्ति। श्रोत्रस्य श्रोत्रम् मनसो मनः यद्वचोह वाचम् स उ प्राणस्य प्राणः। चक्षुषश्चक्षुः अतिमुच्यधीराः प्रेत्यास्माल्लोकात् अमृता भवन्ति। न तत्र चक्षुर्गच्छति न वा गच्छति नो मनः न विद्मः न विजानीमः यथैतद् अनुशिष्याद् अन्यदेव तद्
विदिताद्
अथो अविदिताद् अधि इति शुश्रुम पूर्वेषाम् येनस्तद् व्याचचक्षिरे. यद्वाचा अनभ्युदितम् येन वाग् अभ्युद्यते तदेव ब्रह्म त्वं विद्धि नेदं यदिदं उपासते. తదేవ బ్రహ్మ మహావాక్యం. తదేవ బ్రహ్మ దాట్ ఈజ్ ది అబ్సల్యూట్ రియాలిటీ విచ్ ఈజ్ ఆఫ్ ది నేచర్ ఆఫ్ లిమిట్లెస్నెస్ ఇంప్లైడ్ బై ద టర్మ్ బ్రహ్మ. మే యూ అండర్స్టాండ్ దిస్ త్వం విద్ధి, మే యూ నో దిస్, దాట్ ఈజ్ వాట్ ఈస్ బ్రహ్మ. What is Brahma? The absolute reality, the ultimate truth of the whole, which is of the nature of limitlessness, which is implied by the term Brahma. What is that? That which you arrive at as the Swarupam, the truth of I, the truth of the knower. What is that truth? We are to arrive at as the truth of the knower, the formless abstract reality which is of the nature of knowing, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness, or pure awareness implied by the term Atma. That consciousness which is invariably present in all the variable sense powers, in all the variable functions, in all the variable cognitions, functions, we know that invariable consciousness is Brahma. Not anything else you worship. Na idam yad idam upasate. People, the word people is implied here. Okay, people worship. Upasate, people worship. That which people worship in any given form, that form, Brahman is not that form. Reality is not that form. Even though his reality is not different from this form, reality is not the form. To start with, to in the beginning, to remain associated with Bhagavan, to remain, to relate to Bhagavan, it is very important to start, because it's abstract, formless reality. The mind cannot conceive, mind cannot understand. It takes time. Therefore, in the beginning, symbolizing that formless reality which is your own Swarupam, the Swarupam of every being, the truth of every being, that reality as Ishvara was personified and worshipped and prayed to in different forms. To relate to Bhagavan we had in the beginning, and that such forms are all called Upasya Devata. The deity which is worshipped is Upasya Devata, Upasyam, the object of worship, which symbolizes, even though we never worship the form, we only worship Bhagavan who is invoked in that symbol. Who is Bhagavan for us? Bhagavan, the Lord is the whole. So even when we worship, we always worship not this a small tiny murti here, the form here, we worship the Lord only. Who is the Lord? The Lord, the whole. We invoke that Lord, the whole, in this small, tiny form sitting here, and then we worship this form. This is alambanam for Bhagavan, the whole. But what happens when you regularly worship a form? You are the worshipper. The form is worshipped. Upasyam. Upasakaha worshipper. Meditator is also called upasakaha. In worshipping, meditation is involved. Okay? Even though whatever, in meditation, in worship, meditation is involved. Your attention is focused on Bhagavan. Therefore, worship also is what? Worship, one of the forms of worshipping Lord is meditation. Therefore, in worship, meditation is involved. You don't mechanically do arati. You don't mechanically thinking of something else, don't do arati. When you are doing arati, your mind is there. When you are chanting nama, your mind is there. Isn't it? Therefore, any form of action involved in worship is upasana only, meditation. Okay? So, upasakaha, worshipper. Upasyam, worshipped. So, between upasyam and upasakaha, there is difference. When? In the beginning. But I have once to understand shastra. And, okay, even if you are worshipping, nothing wrong. But in my mind, what must be the understanding? There is nothing which is not Brahma. So, this form of worshipping is also what? Non-separate from Brahma. Brahman is not any form. All forms are the forms of Brahma, reality. And second line is what? Second line you must say, all forms are Brahma. What is that Brahma? Formless reality. The formless reality is in the form of everything. Is it clear? So, na idam yadidam upasate. Not this form which people worship. This form alone is not Brahma. Everything is Brahma. But Brahman is not any form. Brahman, the reality implied by the term Brahman is of the nature of limitlessness and formlessness. Okay? And what is that Brahma? Tadeva. That which you arrive at as your own swarupam is Brahma. Okay, this morning I just started. I said, why reality is implied by the term Brahma? Because Brihattamatvat, because of its limitless, it is limitlessly big. Because of the nature of limitlessness, it's implied by the term Anantam, Anantam. And this reality is arrived at, recognized only in the form of pure knowledge in one's own mind, only in terms of its nature of knowing. Therefore, it is implied by the term jnanam. And this jnanam, the reality which is of the nature of consciousness, which is of the nature of knowing, is implied by the term jnanam alone, obtains in the form of existence of everything here. If I ask you, in what form does water obtain in ocean? In what form does water obtain in the ocean? We should say, water obtains in the form of existence of ocean. Is it clear? Water obtains in the form of existence of ocean. Is it correct? It is correct. Water obtains in the form of existence of ocean. Why do I say? You go and search for water. Where is water in the ocean, the form? Water obtains in the form of existence of the form, name and function called ocean. Therefore, with reference to ocean, water is existence. Relatively, it is existence. But absolutely, what is that which obtains in the form of existence of everything here? Existence of time, existence of space, existence of all forms, names and functions, existence of experiences, existence of everything is what? Consciousness. So consciousness, okay, the reality arrived at, understood, arrived in terms of its nature of knowing, is implied by the term jnanam, and that reality jnanam, otherwise you call chaitanyam or chit, the chit is sat, with reference to the whole universe. What is existence? Consciousness is existence of everything. And existence is in the form of consciousness. They are not two different things. How? Water with reference to ocean is existence, and pure consciousness with reference to the whole jagat is existence. With reference to the entire cosmos, consciousness is existence. Is it clear? And this consciousness, which obtains in the form of existence of everything, is free from time limitation, free from spatial limitation, free from object limitation, not subject to any of the three limitations. Therefore, it is of the nature of limitlessness, and hence it is implied by the term anantam. That sat, jnanam, anantam, satyam. I am putting the word jnanam first, because we have to arrive at first chit only. Only then you understand sat. Okay? Here, in Kena Upanishad, we arrive at first chit. Then we understand this chit is sat. Is it clear? And which is of the nature of limitlessness, therefore implied by the term anantam. And that reality, therefore it is, reality is implied by another term, Brahma. Therefore it is truth of the whole. There are no two truths are not there, two realities are not there. With that only reality, secondless reality, non-dual reality, obtaining in the form of, obtaining as the innermost essence of every being, therefore implied by the term Atma, Pratyagatma, okay, is Brahma, non-different. So here, the oneness of the truth is, truth becomes established here, Mahavakyam. This is how you are non-different from Ishvara. When you understand this fact, seeing your real nature, yourself, being non-different from Ishvara, the truth of the whole. Ishvara, the truth looked upon as the truth of the whole, is given the status Ishvara. Okay? The truth, looked at as the truth of the whole, is given the Ishvara status. So you are non-different from Ishvara. Seeing oneself being non-different from Ishvara is what? Offering oneself to Ishvara. Cognitively resolving your individuality. Cognitively resolving your identity with Bhagavan, the whole. Which is offering yourself to Bhagavan. Which is the exalted form of worship. Yesterday mentioned in Mahabali's, mentioned, isn't it? If you offer yourself to Bhagavan, the offering should come to an end. That is why when people perform the havan, yagaha, that is, what is that which is offered last? Purnahutihi. Remember Purnahutihi? When people perform a ritual, they offer oblations. Oblation offered into the fire is called Ahutihi. And the person who offers is called Hota. Here, the Hota is our Krishna Nambudriji. Okay, and he is the Hota, he offers. Of course, he makes sankalpa for all of us. He performs ritual, he offers oblations, he is the Hota. Upon a small ritual, suppose the ritual is performed, and in keeping with the deity whose grace is invoked, the number of times repeat the mantra, and oblations are offered repeatedly for length of time, and finally they'll keep on a big bundle of oblations, and that is called Purnahutihi. That has to be offered last. Just before the ritual comes to an end, they have to offer. It is called Purnahutihi. Why is it called Purnahutihi? Ahutihi means offering. Isn't it? Oblation offered is called Ahutihi. Yaya Ahutya Yajnaha Purnaha Bhavati. The Ahutihi, the oblations offering which the ritual comes to an end. Offering which oblation the offering comes to an end. After the offering of Purnahutihi, no more ritual, they will stop. That's means ritual is complete. The worship is over. It is called Purnahutihi. Why? Because offering which, okay, yaya ahutya yajnaha purnaha bhavati. Offering which oblation, the performance of ritual, the worship comes to an end. And that bundle symbolizes your head. Mm-hmm. And the head stands for eye sense. Symbolic. We can't jump into the fire, you see. Isn't it? It's not necessary. It is symbolic. The big bundle is what? Our head. And the head stands for eye sense. And offering yourself to Bhagavan is not physical, it's cognitively, intellectually seeing your real self. Essentially, you are non-different from Bhagavan, the whole. Essentially, you are non-different from everything. And seeing this non-separateness between you and the Lord is the culmination of all forms of worship. Devotion. That is the exalted form of devotion, where you see everything as Ishvara. Everything is Brahma. Everything is truth. Everything is the Lord. There is neither I am nor is there universe. In spite of perceiving the duality, I am here, people are around me, in spite of your perception of duality, divisions and plurality, still, in spite of perceptions, once you have the vision of the truth, then no perception will displace your vision of truth. Is it clear? Once you have the vision of water, a perception of wave-ocean difference will not displace your vision of the water. Once you have the vision, clear vision of the wood, your perception of tables and chairs and plurality will not displace your vision of the wood. Is it clear? Once you have clear vision, you will not lose sight of the vision. Okay. With that, and one more thing I have to say, and that reality is implied, because only once I have to say this, and every mantra has this mantra is going to be line, second sentence is going to be repeated. So let me tell you one more thing. And so that which is free from threefold limitations is Brahma, and also this absolute reality is one indivisible partless whole. When I say consciousness is one, all pervasive, it is only reality, there is no second reality, and it is non-dual reality. When you say it is free from all forms of differences. Difference, isn't it? We do see difference. Differences are experienced. Difference, any difference is mithya. When duality is mithya, plurality is mithya, what about the difference? Difference is mithya. What about functions and actions? Everything is mithya. Anything which exists within the realm of objective universe is mithya. You know, already I have made it very clear. The whole jagat is manifestation of knowledge, which is mithya. Because unmanifest also is mithya, manifest also is mithya. Source of the manifestation is what? Satyam, which is Atma, Brahma, which is you. Is it clear? Now, we do find these threefold, three types of differences. So I mentioned this even in my Ishavasam class. Vijatiya Bhedaha. Jati, species. So Vijatiya Bhedaha. Human being belongs to, okay, we all belong to one species. Okay, and a human being is different from other species, animals, plants. So Vijatiya Bheda. One species being different from every other species is what? Vijatiya Bhedaha. If you take here, everything is subject to what? Everything is subject to Vijatiya Bheda. Everything in this creation, this universe. And within ourselves, we can say what? Sajatiya Bhedaha. Within one's own species, there's a Bheda. Man, woman, Bheda. European, Asian, American, Indian, Bheda. And again, this is Sajatiya Bheda. A difference between two different species, difference between beings of two different species is Vijatiya Bhedaha. Difference within the species, okay, one group of species is also what? Sajatiya Bhedaha and Swagata Bhedaha. Everything has its own internal differences. If one individual has head is different, hands are different, all different parts. Trunk is different, feet are different, thighs are different, shanks are different, toes are different, fingers are different. Every part is different from every other part. So the partful, every individual is what? Partful. A tree is partful. So many parts. It's called Swagata Bhedaha. Internal differences within and a part of every individual being. Swagata Bhedaha, Vijatiya Bhedaha, Sajatiya Bhedaha, like differences are there. There's nothing which is not subject to all these threefold differences. And real consciousness, one indivisible, partless whole, is not subject to, is free from all these Bhedas. Consciousness has no Vijatiya Bheda because there's no second thing other than consciousness. There is Sajatiya Bheda, isn't it? There is no another consciousness. No Swagata Bheda, because it is one indivisible, partless whole. Is it clear? Therefore, consciousness, being free from threefold differences, being free from threefold limitations, consciousness is implied by the term Brahma. Clear. Now we say minus Brahma. What is there in this? Minus Brahman, the consciousness. What is in this world? We may say forms, names and functions. Okay? Forms, names and functions are all mithya. If I say with reference to ocean, water is satyam, the truth is satyam. And the form, name and function called ocean is mithya. Why it is mithya? Doesn't have independent existence. If wave is mithya, ocean is mithya, all the waves are mithya. Waves means what? The forms are mithya. And what about the movement of the waves now? Wave itself is mithya. What about the movement of the wave? Movement of the wave also is mithya. It's okay. Everything is mithya. Mithya means seemingly real. Movement is seemingly real. Apparently real. Wave form is apparently real. Wave's movement is apparently real. Ocean form is apparently real. Mithya. It is not unreal. But it is not absolutely real. And what is absolutely real with reference to ocean is water. Similarly, you can say real. Actually, what is absolutely real with reference to the whole cosmos is just formless, beginningless, endless, changeless, independently consciousness, okay, which is implied by the term Atma, which alone obtains as the innermost self of all the beings, every being. What is implied by the term Atma is implied by the term Brahma. They're not, yep, there's only one truth. Is it clear? Okay, now we can take off.
Yanmanasanamanute
Yenahur
Manahamatam Tadeva Brahma Tvam Vidhi Nedam Yadidamupasate.
The same order it comes. First we saw Chakshu is going to come later on. He started with the walk and he has moved on to Na Manaha. Na Manaha Gacchati. Isn't it? The third mantra, he said Na Manaha Na Gacchati. That line is taken here. Now it is made again. Same vision, what has been already given in the third mantra. Now again, now it is shown. See, please be careful. The second mantra, when it was said, what is the truth? What is that? What, there must be some conscious being. What is that? It must be the truth because of which everything functions. What enables everything, you know, function? That question was asked. Then the second mantra, the teacher, when he gave an answer, that answer is Lakshanam. Lakshanam, isn't it? How to arrive at it, isn't it? The Lakshanam. Yat Chakshushaha Chakshuhu Shrotrasya Shrotram Manaso Manaha Vacho Havacham. That is a Lakshanam, showing how it is. If you go to, if you search for what is that which enables the seeing power, no, I function as I, that is the seer. And that seer, if you search for, the seer, there is no seer other than consciousness. Okay, there is a Lakshanam. And afterwards, now Pramanam has to jump in. Pramanam jumps when Pramanam comes in. Pramanam means the means. That consciousness, that abstract formless reality, arrive it in terms of its nature of knowing as your own Swarupam, truth of I is Brahma. When it is shown, there comes Pramanam. Lakshanam and Pramanam, both we need. Is it clear? Now, it moved on. Now, the next sentence. Yatra na manaha means manaha na gacchati. That where the mind has no access. Thoughts do not have access. Which means reality, the consciousness obtaining as the innermost self of every being, which alone is the truth of everything, thereby implied by the term Brahma, is not mentally conceivable. It is not an object of thought. That was mentioned before by the expression tat yat manaha na gacchati. And that is again elaborated in this mantra. Yanmanasana manute
Yena
ahuhu Manaha matam
Tadeva Brahma
Tvam Vidhi
Nedam
Yadidam Upasate. Second line need not be explained. Is that which you have arrived at
as the mind of the mind, as the thinker, that we have arrived at as the thinker, swarupam of the thinker, who enables the mind function as mind, because of whose presence thinking, knowing, all functions associated with antahkaranam is possible. That thinker, swarupam of thinker, is formless abstract reality consciousness, is Brahma. May you understand this fact, not what people worship as God. Okay. Now, yan manasa na manute. No, yan means yat. Yat means what? That. What is that? People do not na manute. Here people are not a person. Okay? Because the manute is singular verb. Anybody, whoever it is, no person here, nobody objectifies that reality. None objectifies reality. With mind, none knows the reality using the mind as an instrument of knowledge. None objectifies, knows, thinks the reality as an object. With using the mind as instrument, one does not think. Sweetness, you can think. Bitterness, you can think. Consciousness, you cannot think. Consciousness is not an object of thought. Why? Because, why consciousness, mind does not think, does not objectify. One does not objectify consciousness with using the mind as an instrument. Is mind useful or not in knowing consciousness? How can we arrive at consciousness without using the mind? We do use the mind. Manasa eva jnatavyam. We do use the mind to arrive at consciousness. But still consciousness is not object of mind. How do you arrive at consciousness then? Consciousness is arrived at as the swarupam of the thinker knower, because of whose presence mind or intellect, antahkaranam as a whole, is capable of functioning as antahkaranam. Big difference. Everything else you arrive at as an object of thought. Consciousness is your help to arrive at consciousness as the very swarupam of thought. Big difference. Okay? You see the difference now? And what is it, consciousness? He said, yena ahuhu manaha matam. Yena ahuhu means people say. People means who? Ahu, wise people say. Wise people who have clear understanding of this truth, they say. People do not, one does not objectify the truth. One cannot objectify the truth with the mind, using the mind. One cannot arrive at reality as an object of thought. Why? Because it is the reality by which yena manaha matam, by which mind itself is known. It is reality by which mind is known. Mind, any number of thoughts which constitute the antahkaranam, all those thoughts, the mind, intellect, antahkaranam is an object of knowledge, object of consciousness. Mind, which is an object of consciousness, cannot become the knower of the consciousness. Okay? The knower of mind is consciousness. Thinker, knower, because of whose presence the function of thinking, knowing is possible, that knower is what? Consciousness. For yena manaha matam, the reality by which the Atma, by whose presence, because of whose presence, by which alone mind functions as mind, by whom mind becomes conscious and sentient. Because of the presence of Atma, mind enjoys existence first of all. And by whose presence, mind is known, mind is illumined. Matam means mind is known, mind is illumined, and mind functions as mind. Yena, because of whose presence, because of whose presence, which Atma's presence, mind functions as mind, mind becomes known, mind becomes illumined, and mind has the capacity to illumine other sense organs. No? Yena manaha matam. Here you must remember one thing. We saw this already in other classes. See, an object of knowledge, any object of knowledge can become the object of knowledge only when it becomes the known. For an object to have the status of being an object, for any object to enjoy the status of being an object, it must become the known. It must be known. For the object to become the known, there must be knowledge. Without the knowledge, object, isn't it? The object, knowledge of the object. Only then the object becomes known. And for the object to become, there must be knowledge, which means the object must be perceived through sense organs. There are objects that are perceived through sense organs. It means the sense organs must be functional. The sense powers themselves are inert powers. How do they become conscious and sentient? Sense powers do not have the blessing of consciousness directly. You know that. Sense powers can become conscious, sentient. Sense powers can enjoy the status of being existent only when the sense powers are illumined by mind. Okay, so mind alone illumines the sense, mind lends existence to sense powers, mind lends consciousness to sense powers, mind lends sentiency to sense powers, and mind enables sense powers function as sense powers. And thereby, through sense powers, mind comes in contact with the external world. Thereby, knowledge of the external world also is possible. Okay, all these forms, colors, sounds, tastes, such, all of them are known through sense powers because the sense powers are perceiving them. They are capable of perceiving because of the blessing of conscious mind. Mind by itself is jadam, inert. But inert mind, every thought is inert by itself. But all these inert thoughts which constitute the inert mind become conscious sentient mind because of the association with, because of the manifestation of consciousness. Is it clear? Mind without consciousness can never become conscious and sentient mind. Without becoming conscious and sentient mind can never become the illuminator of sense organs. The mind does not illumine the sense organs means external world also will become unknown, will remain covered in darkness of ignorance. Is it clear? Now the whole external world enjoys the status of being existent because they are all well illumined by the lights of sense organs. The sense organs are capable of illumining the external world of objects because mind illumines the sense powers. Is it clear? Which means, and how does the mind have the status of being the illuminator? How does the mind become illuminator? Mind itself doesn't have independent existence of its own. So mind enjoys the status of being existent because of consciousness. So consciousness lends existence to the mind. Consciousness lends consciousness to the mind. Consciousness lends sentiency to the mind. And it is the blessing of consciousness, the mind is capable of illumining the sense powers. The two meanings are given for the word matam. Mind is illumined by consciousness, atma. And the mind is capable of illumining everything else because of the blessing of atma. Okay? Mind is illumined from the standpoint of consciousness. The illuminator, mind is the illuminator from the standpoint of sense organs. Is it clear? Mind is subject of illumination from the standpoint of sense organs. The standpoint of consciousness, mind is object of illumination. Is it clear? Let me tell you one more thing. You know this, on full moon day, the whole place is well lit. I missed the moon this time. I never missed the moon. This time I missed the moon. Somehow I was sitting inside the classroom. I missed it. And full moon day, everywhere bright. You know, the moon doesn't have light of its own. And who is the illuminator of the world on full moon day? In the evening. This is Sumas Vasubhashtam, kindergarten verses there. You know, Prabhate Deepakas Surya, no, Ravihi, Pradoshe Deepakas Chandraha, Prabhate Deepako Ravihi, Trailokye Deepako Dharmaha, Suputra Kula Deepakaha. It's a kindergarten Sanskrit verse. Yeah, we teach children. No? So, Prabhate Deepakaha Ravihi. Pradoshe Deepakaha Chandraha. The night time, the moon is the illuminator, not the sun. How does the moon doesn't have light of its own? But still moon has the status of being the illuminator in the evening, night time. How? It borrows light from sun. Similarly, our mind is like the moon. It doesn't have consciousness of its own, it doesn't have sentiency of its own, it doesn't have existence of its own. Everything is taken from there. And it lends. If there is a dark room, there is, imagine here, dark room. And then I don't know whether you have been to Kailas Ashram in Rishikesh. Those days, I don't know now how it is. There was a time, all stone walls. Stone walls. Everywhere, a roof is stone, walls are stone, flooring is stone, everything is stone. No window, nothing. Only entrance will be there. Entrance alone will be there. But nowadays it must be comfortable. I don't have an idea. Okay. One entrance will be there, okay? And then there won't be any light. How will light penetrate and go? Even though bright sun is above, sun cannot penetrate. Imagine, okay? I'm only an imagination story, not real story. So I think, let us keep one mirror in front of the entrance. What happens? The sunlight falls on the mirror. And the mirror reflects the sunlight. The reflection, the sunlight reflected by the mirror, which is kept in front of the entrance of the room, illumines the room. Don't stretch the example again, okay? You should not never stretch the examples. The dark room, no way of light penetrating inside, now becomes well lit. Everything you can see. and who is the illuminator of the light, the illuminator of the room? Sun or the mirror? There are two illuminators now. From the standpoint of the room, definitely illuminator of the room is the mirror. But the mirror, if the sun, after sunset, if I keep the mirror, mirror itself will lose its status of being existent. Mirror itself will be covered in darkness. If the sun's after sunset, the mirror itself will be covered in darkness. Mirror and the room, there's no difference between the mirror and the room. The room is in darkness, mirror also will remain in darkness. Which means the room is dependent on the light to have the status of being existence in order to be illumined. The mirror also what now? The mirror is dependent on the sun for it to have the status of being the existent first of all. Then it has the status of being the illuminator. Is it clear? In the presence of sunlight, the mirror can, mirror shines by itself. Mirror enjoys existence. Mirror shines. And not only mirror shines, mirror is capable of illumining the dark room also. The illuminator number two is what? Mirror. Even though relatively, mirror is the relative illuminator. Mirror is the illuminator of the room, but absolutely, without sun, mirror cannot become the illuminator. Sun is the illuminator. Is it clear? Even then, sun is not the illuminator. The absolute illuminator is sun from the standpoint of the mirror. Is it clear? In fact, sun alone illumines the room through the mirror. Similarly, he says, how this mirror without the sun will be remain in darkness like the room? Minus consciousness, mind will remain inert, okay, which is matter without even having the status of being existent. Mind will remain covered in darkness if there is no consciousness. Is it clear? Now mind shines, mind becomes conscious, mind becomes sentient, and not only that, mind is capable of illumining the external world through sense organs. Okay, mind is object of knowledge of thought. Mind is object of consciousness. So consciousness can never become, consciousness is never the object of thought. It is surupam of the thought. Is it clear? So manaha matam. The standpoint of intellect and mind, thinker is consciousness. Knower is consciousness. The one who feels is consciousness. Standpoint of eyes, seer is consciousness. The standpoint of ear, hearer is consciousness. That is you. Okay? Therefore, yena ahu manaha matam, tad eva, that which obtains as the very swarupam of thought, swarupam of the thinker, that consciousness is Brahma, na idam yadidam upasate. Is it clear? We'll go move on to the next mantra. Therefore, if you have to understand here, the sense power, sense organs perceive the objects. Many perceptions take place. But every perception of every object, perception of every object is cognized in the mind. Okay? It's all cognitions, various cognitions. And that invariable consciousness is invariably present in all the various cognitions. See, there's a perception of object through eyes see, object of sight, object heard, object heard, object smelt, object tasted, object felt, object seen, object seen through eyes, object heard through ears, object, isn't it? The heard, seen, smelt, tasted, touched, all these objects, the perception of all these five different objects, five different perceptions of five different objects through five different sense organs, all these perceptions are cognized in the mind. So the relevant cognition of each perception, cognition of what has been seen, cognition of what has been heard, cognition of what has been smelt, cognition of what has been tasted, cognition of what has been touched. Various cognitions, in all variable cognitions, in all varied variable perceptions, in all varied objects, in all of them, what is invariably present is one and the only consciousness. Is it clear? Therefore, the knower is Atma, the knowledge is Brahma, known is also Atma. Okay, we move on to next mantra. Yat chakshusha na pasyati.
Yat chakshusha na pasyati.
Yena chakshugamsi pasyati.
Yena chakshugamsi pasyati.
Yat chakshusha na pasyati.
Yat chakshusha na pasyati.
Yena chakshugamsi pasyati.
Yena chakshugamsi pasyati.
Tadeva Brahma.
Tadeva Brahma.
Tvam Vidhi.
Tvam Vidhi.
Nedam.
Nedam.
Yadidam Upasate.
Yadidam Upasate.
No. Yat chakshusha na pasyati. Yat chakshusha na pasyati. So a person, no one sees through the eyes. No one sees through the eyes. What? That. No one sees through the eyes that which is arrived at, which has been arrived at as the Swarupam of I. Swarupam of the seer. The Swarupam of the seer is formless abstract consciousness implied by the term Atma, and no one sees that Atma through the eyes. Why no one sees the Atma through the eyes? Chakshusha na pasyati. Because Atma is not an object of perception. We already understood and repeated here. Yena chakshumsi pasyati. Chakshumsi is in plural word, it's a plural expression. You must take it as jnana indriyam. Chakshur indriyam, the seeing power. Because of the Atma, the consciousness implied by the term Atma, obtaining as Rupam of I, because of which alone the Chakshur Indriyam sees, the power of organ of see, okay, the seeing power functions as the seeing power. The seeing power functions as the seeing power. The seeing power is capable of seeing, illumining the object of sight, because of the blessing of Atma, the consciousness. Okay? Simple. And that consciousness implied by the term Atma, arrived at the Swarupam of the seer, I, is the all-pervasive, limitless reality implied by the term Brahma. Please understand, not what people worship as any given form. Class is over with this mantra. With this mantra, unfoldment is over, I'm saying. Now the question must come. I want to say it between, okay? Suppose the vastu, same vastu, the only vastu revealed as the ear of the ear, eye of the eye, mind of the mind, that alone is what now say, that vastu alone repeatedly shown, repeatedly pointed out by Upanishad. Which vastu? Abstract, formless vastu arrived at as the seer of the, arrived as the truth of the eye, revealed as the eye of the eye, ear of the ear, isn't it? That vastu alone is repeatedly, severally shown, pointed out. How? Not only once. Why repeat? Already we've understood. Why don't you move on? Isn't it? Upanishad itself is making effort. Upanishad really, if you feel tired, how tired Upanishad must be. Upanishad really takes amazing effort. Upanishad really takes the pain of revealing it again and again and again severally with reference to every sense power. It's enough. Upanishad could have stopped with one sentence. What is that? That because of which all sense powers function. That which cannot be perceived by any sense power, sense organ. That because of which mind functions. That which cannot be perceived, known through the mind. That is Atma. That Atma, that is what is Brahma. And you are that Brahma. Finished. Teaching is over. This much is everything. This is what the fact. Why does Upanishad repeat? Isn't it? With reference to every sense organ. With reference to I, Upanishad says, the truth of that truth which obtains as the truth of the seer is consciousness Brahma. That truth obtains as the truth of the hearer is consciousness, that is Brahma. The truth, that which obtains as the truth of the thinker, because of which mind functions, that is Brahma. Why does Upanishad repeat? With reference to every sense organ, with reference to mind, with reference to prana also. You're going to see that also. Why does Upanishad repeat several times, tirelessly, without feeling bored and tired? Already we saw the expression, Jamita na bhavati. Remember, in the previous mantra we saw, previous Upanishad, we came across this word, Jamita. Mantranam na Jamita. In mantras, do not get tired of repeating something. Because, must understand. See, in that repeatedly pointing out what the vastu is with reference to every sense organ, we are helped to recognize the invariable presence of consciousness. Okay, we are enabled to recognize the invariable presence of consciousness. And that too, how intimately we are supposed to recognize the invariable presence of consciousness intimately. When you see, these seeing powers are functioning because of the blessing of the truth obtaining as the seer. Isn't it? The seer is consciousness. I am the seer. Which means we are helped to recognize the invariable presence of consciousness intimately, okay, by repeatedly mentioning several times with reference to every sense organ. Is it clear the importance, why it is repeated? Therefore, otherwise it will not be possible for us to recognize the intimately the presence of consciousness. So it enables now. We will forget. Even though we understand, we will forget. So we have to be reminded again and again. Okay. So the objects are many, innumerable, varied. Okay? And in each perception, each object, what is invariably present is consciousness. In each perception of every object, what is invariably present is consciousness. In each and every cognition, what is invariably present is consciousness. Isn't it? All the variables, objects are varied, functions are varied, cognitions are varied. In all the variables, what is invariably present is consciousness. So, therefore, Upanishad, by severally by pointing out this consciousness, pointing out the vastu, it enables us to intimately recognize the invariable presence of consciousness. Okay. In fact, if we see, it becomes a course of contemplation. In the class itself, isn't it? You are made to dwell upon your Swarupa. This portion actually is like a contemplation. You are shown what you are. Why? Because that's the only way Upanishad is making efforts to drive home the teaching. In fact, contemplation does not reveal anything new. Contemplation will never, should not, will not, cannot reveal anything new. Contemplation is only enhancing the clarity of vision of the subject matter. Clarity of vision of the vastu that you are seeing already. What is contemplated upon is the vastu. When you are repeatedly the consciousness vastu is pointed out. The invariable presence of consciousness is severally repeatedly pointed out with reference to every sense organ, means we are helped to be in contemplation. Isn't it? So contemplation, what do you know extra, anything new? Nothing. So contemplation cannot reveal, should not reveal anything new. Contemplation is only for, isn't it? Contemplation is to have contemplation is only to enhance your clarity of vision of the vastu that you are contemplating upon. Okay, we'll go next mantra now. Yachrotrena nashrunoti yena shrotramidagam shrutam tadeva brahma tvam vidhi nedam yadidam upasate
యచ్్రోత్రేణ
యచ్్రోత్రేణ
నశ్రుణోతి
నశ్రుణోతి
యేన
యేన
శ్రోత్రమిదగం శృతం
శ్రోత్రమిదగం శృతం
శృతం
తదేవ బ్రహ్మ
త్వం విద్ధి
నేదం
యదిదముపాసతే యచ్్రోత్రేణ నో యత్ శ్రోత్రేణ యత్ శ్రోత్రేణ బికమ్స్ యచ్్రోత్రేణ అగైన్ ఎవ్రీ టైమ్ ది మంత్ర యత్ 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 కమ్స్ యత్ మీన్స్ దాట్ విచ్ okay what is that yet is a relative pronoun that which okay reality the truth the abstract reality arrived at as the eye of the eye arrived at as the ear of the ear arrived at as the mind of the mind in terms of pure consciousness which obtaining in the form of this truth, obtaining as the truth of the I, that reality, you know, one does not hear through the instrument of hearing. Shrotram is instrument of hearing. Through the instrument of hearing, one, a person does not hear the Atma. What is made clear? Atma is not an object of hearing. Atma is not an object which can be heard like a sound. Is it clear? You know, Atma is not available for sense perception. Atma is not an object which is to be heard through a sense organ to the ear. So, here, ear does not hear the Atma. Through the ear, a person cannot hear the Atma because Atma is not a sound which can be heard. Why? Atma is the reality which enables the ear function as ear. The function of hearing itself is possible because of which that reality is pure consciousness, Atma. How can the reality, the Atma, the consciousness, because of the blessing of which the function of hearing is possible, how can it become the object of hearing? It is not. Okay? Now he says, Yena Shrotram Idam Shrutam. Shrutam means what? That because of the presence of which the function of hearing is possible. Without which the function of hearing is not possible. Even the object heard also cannot be heard. There cannot be something called object heard. Then there cannot be something called sound which is an object of hearing. It is not, cannot be, it is not possible. An object of hearing is not possible. The function of hearing is not possible. There cannot be even hearer without consciousness. The hearer, the one who hears, the hearer is none other than Atma, the consciousness. And because of the hearer, the function of hearing is possible. And because of that, even the object heard also enjoys existence. Is it clear? And therefore, that reality implied by the term Atma, obtaining as the truth of I, cannot be an object of perception, object heard through the ear. And just now I told you why Upanishad severally points out the Atma. Severally points out. Why? Please don't miss. You intimately recognize the presence of consciousness. Intimately recognize the presence of consciousness in all the variable functions. Varied perceptions. In the function of hearing, what is invariably present in the function of hearing is what? Consciousness.
what the invariable presence of consciousness in the function of hearing, function of seeing, function of smelling, function of tasting, all different functions are happening in all the functions, and the functions change also. Isn't it? The one object goes, you hear the class now, afterwards, now you are listening to the Upanishad class. Once you go afterwards, satsang, you listen to bhajans. The sounds are different. The sounds are different here. Then when you sit in quietly, closing your eyes, trying to meditate, you hear the noise of the waves. The sounds heard are varied, and the perceptions of varied sounds through one power of hearing. And here, when the perception takes place, the relevant cognition of what has been perceived, also the mind undergoes, isn't it? Mind itself adjusts, and there the required change, mind undergoes a change for it to have the relevant cognition. Cognition of wave sound, cognition of bhajan sound, and cognition of Rukminiji's sound, cognition of Swamiji's sound, and cognition of bird sound, and cognition of speech, and cognition of Hindustani music class afterward. How many? Even one, through one power of hearing, varied sounds are heard. And okay, in every perception of every form of all, in all forms of sound, in all varied forms of sound, isn't it? In all forms of, in all perceptions, in each and every perception of every sound, there is what is invariably present is consciousness. And therefore, because relevant to the perception is a relevant cognition. In keeping with the perceptions, relevant cognition also in the mind, in every varied, variable cognitions, there is invariable presence of consciousness, which doesn't come and go. Is it clear now? Therefore, and that consciousness is not an object of hearing, not perceived through the sense organ, that is the very swarupam of the hearer, because of whose presence the hearing is possible, listening is possible, even the object of hearing can enjoy the status of being existent. And that consciousness is the innermost self of every being, implied by the term Atma. That consciousness is, which is implied by the term Brahma, because of its nature of limitlessness, may you understand that consciousness to be Brahma, the Atma to be Brahma, not this object which people worship as an object is not Brahma. Is it clear? Object of worship is not, your object of worship is Brahma, but that is not, Brahman is not that which people worship as Brahma. Worship as all, an object of worship. Okay? Yet Shrotrena Nashrunoti Yena Shrotram Idam Shrutam Tadeva Brahma Tvam Vidhi Na Idam Yadidam Upasate. So we also have a topic of prana, one more. See, this whole section where with reference to every sense organ, the Atma, the consciousness is presented as the invariable present, the reality which present invariably. And this whole section itself is what actually becomes the subject matter, becomes the subject matter of contemplation. The whole section. As I said, contemplation does not teach anything new, but contemplation is for enhancing the clarity of vision of what is to be contemplated upon. Definitely, in this class, we must be able to recognize intimately the invariable presence of consciousness which is revealed, unfolded with reference to every sense organ. Okay, next. Yat pranena na praniti. Even Shankara's commentary, not much for these mantras. Yat pranena na praniti. Yena pranaha praniyate. Tadeva Brahma Tvam Vidhi Nedam Yadidam Upasate. So yat pranena praniti yena pranaha praniyate tadeva Brahma Tvam Vidhi. Here, this only this part that we read out Shankara's commentary. Yat pranena ghranena parthivena nasika putantara putantaravasthite swasthitena antakarana pranavrittibhyam sahitena yat na praniti gandhavat na vishayi karoti. See, through this nose, pranena, through this nose, usually what happens, how do we smells? The smell is possible only if there is air. Suppose there is no air at all, airtight, there is no air, means you cannot smell. Smelling is not possible. You need space for the sound to be heard. You need air for anything to be smelt. So here, praniti, prana here means grana here. Nasika putantara avasthitena, nasika putantara avasthitena antakarana pranavrittibhyam. We have this power of smelling is here in your nostrils. Power of smelling is called ghrana indriyam. Ghrana indriyam, Samskritam, is what? Power of smelling. The power of smelling obtaining in your nostrils. Isn't it? Nostrils. It's not about the prana here. Even the word prana is used, we should take it as just the prana. Granena, this granam. And the nasika putantara avasthitena, obtaining in your nostrils, is the power of smelling. And through the power of smelling, what do we objectify? Vishayi karoti. What do we objectify? Through the power of smelling, one can objectify the smell which belongs to the earth element. Now, smell belongs to earth element actually. One objectifies. So, any number of fragrances, isn't it? Any number of perfumes, any number of fragrances, difference in smell, the fragrance of jasmine is different from the fragrance of another flower, rose, and the varieties of varied fragrances, varieties of smells. The flavor in kitchen is different from the flavor in puja room, the fragrance in puja room. And every day I walk by and I can see some people have their own perfumes, different smells. I search, where does it come from? Sugandha, isn't it? So what I'm saying, the difference is there. All these smells are perceived through the sense organ called power of smelling, called Grana Indriyam. Atma is not any fragrance or smell which is smelt, objectified through the power of smelling. Which means Atma is that because of whose presence, it is Atma which alone is there, who is capable of smelling, because of whose presence the power of smelling functions as power of smelling. Is it clear? Yena pranaha praniyate. It's already very simple. All five sense organs he wants to mention here. Upanishad wants to mention. That's why I said several mention of the same thing. Pointing out severally the same vastu again and again with reference to every sense organ is for us to be able to recognize intimately the presence of invariable presence of consciousness. So that because of which any sense power functions, like power of smelling also functions, and that power is what? That is the pure, the formless, abstract reality which you arrive at in terms of its nature of knowing, which alone is implied by the term Atma, which is none other than that reality is Brahma, the truth of the whole. Okay? Na idam yadidam upasate. So this one is not mentioned earlier in the first line, but all sense powers have been covered here. Yet pranena na praniti. Praniti literally means smells. No? Gandhavat na vishayi karoti. A person does not objectify Atma like how he objectifies any smell through the power of smelling. Na praniti. Pranena, the word prana in this context means granam. Be careful. The word pranaha in this mantra, please note, the word pranaha in this 8th mantra, pranena, there it means granena. Through the power of smelling, a person does not objectify Atma like how he objectifies any other smell or fragrance. Why? Because it is the Atma by which the power of smelling functions as power of smelling. Okay? And that Atma is Brahma. May you understand that fact and not anything people worship. Not any object people worship. Brahman is not any object people worship. Is it clear? At last, we have to move on to the next section. Iti prathama khandaha. First section is over. So tomorrow, we'll quickly enter. Next also, the beautiful mantras come here. Now, first initially you heard and Upanishad, how elaborated on it. It's called stretching. Stretching. One mantra first itself. And second mantra. The question was asked in the first mantra. In the second mantra, he gave the lakshanam. In the third mantra, okay, he elaborated on the lakshanam. And the fourth onwards, he also gave the pramanam, presented. That truth is Brahma. So, in Kena Upanishad, it is made very clear. Prakriya is inbuilt. Prakriya means the method of unfoldment. It's called method of unfoldment. The method, teaching methodology is inbuilt. How can I arrive at the reality? Even if you stand upside down, even if you fly, even if you jump, you cannot arrive at the reality as an object. Reality, every object is reality, everything is reality, all it is essentially reality only, essentially everything is reality. But when you have to know what the reality is, who is the one who wants to know the reality here? I. Say that. I want to know the reality. When you want to know the reality, okay, you means the desire to know the reality arises where? In the mind only. The desire to know the reality arises only in the mind. When does the desire come? When you are exposed to the teaching, when you understand the connection between knowledge and moksha. When you discover the fact that moksha is your choiceless end, my God, I had to attain one janma or the other, one day or the other, somehow or the other, I have to discover moksha. And the only way of discovering moksha is discovering the truth. When you understand these facts, then naturally the desire for knowing the truth also arises. Isn't it? The desire arises. Is it clear now? Desire is your mind. Then it has to be discovered now. The Upanishad is the Pramana. And Upanishad tells reality. Now, the happiness, so the limitlessness, happiness is Surupma of the reality, and that reality can never be arrived at as an object. Why? Because it is not an object. Simple fact. Reality is not an object. Even though all the objects are reality, there is no object which is different from reality. No object is different from reality. But reality is not an object. Reality is not an object, even though all objects are non-different from reality. Therefore, you cannot know the reality. I want to know means you want to know means what? Know something means it becomes an object. Therefore, Upanishad tells, the reality is available for recognition only as the truth of the seeker. Only the truth of the one who wants to know. Truth of the mind. The mind is extroverted through all the sense organs. Mind is wedded to 5 sense organs. All the time is extroverted looking for objects outside. What can be known? What can be seen through eyes? What can be heard through ears? What can be smelled through nose? What can be tasted through tongue? What can be felt, not touched through all the sense organs? Different textures. What can be known? All through 5 sense organs. And here, mind, that's why mind, Atma is not available for objectification. It is not an object. It is not available for sense perception. It is not available for thought perception. It is not available for word description. Means Atma is available for recognition only as the very Swarupam of the I. Obtaining as the knower. Isn't it? So instead of saying that, that's why it was indirectly answer was given. For you to arrive at the reality as your own Swarupam, as the truth of the subjective knowledge. Now, even though that reality is one, it is that reality which is Brahma. There is no other reality. What to arrive at the Swarupa of Atma, I,
is the only reality implied by the term Brahma, only reality of the whole. Okay, so Aikyam also has been established already. Now, no object is different from Brahma, therefore everything is Brahma. That thing which is not Brahma, and you are that Brahma. And you have to start, the contemplation should begin from here. That's why Upanishad repeats. Since the third mantra teaching is over, fourth mantra onwards, in 8-4 mantras, isn't it? Tadeva Brahmatvam Vidhi. That with reference to every sense organ. Severally, many times, repeatedly, reality is pointed out. The fact is pointed out. That how in all the varied objects, in all the varied functions, in all the varied cognitions, invariably you are there, you are there in the form of very consciousness. You are there in everything. You are there means you are there as the very consciousness, in the form of consciousness. You are consciousness. You are consciousness. If I tell the wave, you are water, you are water. Imagine, the wave doesn't ask me, suppose. If I happen to tell, you are water, you are water, the wave is find very difficult. Am I? You are water. What is the water? The water, the only truth of the whole ocean. You are the water which is the only truth of the whole ocean. You are the water which is the only truth of the whole ocean. Very difficult for the wave to digest. Oh, I've been thinking of a tiny little wave only sitting one corner of the ocean. Ocean is so huge. You understand the fact? Shastram tells us the same way. You tadeva brahma, tadeva, that reality, tadeva, that reality, which is arrived at as the surupam, as the truth of your I, arrived at as the innermost self of yourself, your own self, your own every being. And you arrive at it in terms of it, nature of knowing as pure consciousness and pure knowledge, that is Brahma. And there is no God other than truth. Okay? People worship, Brahman is not any form, any object people worship. Is it clear? Second section, we'll start. Very nice verses are coming. Beautiful verses. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. See, anybody can come and tell, as a teacher, you are consciousness. Easy to tell. But making you see you how you are consciousness, that is class. Simply see, if I come and tell you, you are consciousness. That is not teaching. It's a statement of fact. If I tell you you are consciousness, it's a statement of fact. If I show how
what conscious, how consciousness is. How you are conscious, how when you are made to see how you are in consciousness, that is teaching. And when you are seeing consciousness, when you negate everything as an object of knowledge, and what is non-negatable as an object is subject, and the subject is knower, and you think, who is the knower of the mind? There is knower of the three states of mind. Okay? I am the knower. Who is the knower? And you see, there is no knower. Then what is there? Enjoying the status of being the knower is formless, abstract. Subtlest, inexplicable, imperceptible, indescribable, inconceivable. Why? Because there's a truth behind this mind, behind the sense organs, behind the words. That is what is Brahma, and you are the Brahma. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.